rejoice in it. Guys, let's all stand. Justin's going to come and read to us from the book of Romans.
We're going to be in Romans chapter 6 this morning. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 6. It says this: Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. This is the word of the Lord.
And you may be seated, guys. Father, we come to you this morning. We're so grateful for just the specialness of this day together. Lord, we pray that you would meet us now as we have opened the pages of your word. And we pray, Lord, that you would continue to instruct us about the very nature of your mission in this world, what mission looks like, what mission is. And this morning, I pray that you would show us something about the relationship of baptism to your mission in the making of disciples. For everything you want to do this morning, Lord, we pray that you'd overlook my inadequacies as a man and as a teacher, so that this morning your word would go forth in the demonstration of the Holy Spirit and of power. And we ask this of you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, this morning, as a part of one big day, we're going to continue in our series titled Little Thoughts About Our Big Mission. And here's our one, and we're only going to have one little thought about our big mission for this morning rather than 10 or 12 like we have been. And here it is. Baptism is an integral and essential component of mission. Baptism is an integral and essential component of mission. We've been using Mark 16, 15 as kind of the springboard for this, marking in our hearts that like our mission is really Jesus' mission. Jesus' mission is our mission. And he gave the Great Commission there to go into all the world in Mark 16, 15. But look at Matthew's account of the Great Commission. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said that baptism is integral to his mission. And when we look at the book of Acts, which has been the pond that we've been fishing in, if you would, the waters we've been walking around in for these little thoughts on our big mission, when you look at the book of Acts, we see how the first century Christians made sure that baptism was an integral and essential part to their mission, proclaiming the gospel, making disciples, but baptism was right in there with it. I'm going to have a number. You can write these in the margins of your Bible. They're next to Romans 6 if you'd like. But I'm just going to read these. They'll be up there for you. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. This is on the day of Pentecost. The church is being birthed right in this moment. It says, so those who received his word were baptized. And there were added that day about 3,000 souls. Talk about one big day, right? Acts 8, 38. In Samaria, Philip, the guy who was a deacon in the church because of the persecution, has now been scattered into Samaria, and now he's going to become Philip the evangelist, right? And he's preaching the gospel, and it says, and he's left the revival in Samaria, and now he's in the Gaza Strip because God commanded him to. And he, Philip, commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. He not only proclaimed the gospel to him, and this guy not only believed the gospel, but then Philip made sure to baptize him. In Acts 9:18, this is upon the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. It says, and immediately something like scales fell from Saul of Tarsus' eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized. Acts chapter 10, verse 48. And he, this is Peter, he's in Caesarea Maritima, Caesarea by the sea. He's at the house of Cornelius. He, Peter, commanded them, this is Cornelius, this Roman centurion, his relatives and close friends, he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And then we get further out to when now the gospel has breached the region of what we know as Europe today. In Acts 16, 31, in the city of Philippi, and they, this is Paul and Silas, said, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you, he's speaking to this Philippian jailer, and you will be saved, you and your household. And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house, in verse 33, and he, the jailer, was baptized at once, he and all his family. Guys, we can't miss this, guys. Baptism is an integral and essential component of mission. And because baptism is such an integral and essential part of the mission of Jesus, I think it would be great for us this morning on one big day when in just a little bit we're going to go outside and baptize at least 15 people that have signed up for this and maybe more. I pray there would be men and women sitting in this room this morning going, this is such an integral part of what it means to be a disciple. I need to be baptized. Or there will be those sitting here this morning going, I need to become a Christian in light of what this whole thing about baptism has to say about Jesus. So follow me here. I think it would be great for us to look at the what, the why, the who, and the how of baptism. So let's start with what is baptism? What is it? Well, guys, baptism is a gospel proclamation. Romans chapter 6, verse 3, as Justin read to us, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were, this is really important, baptized into his death. Jesus is God, the creator of all things, and he came down from heaven. He took upon himself our humanity. He took upon himself human flesh, incarnation. And as a man, he openly and repeatedly claimed to be the one true and living God. And as a man, he lived a sinless life. He lived the life we should live but have failed to live. And then he went to the cross where he died in our place for our sins. God came in human flesh so that he might become our substitute. Jesus endured the death we deserve. The wages of sin is death. We've earned it, but Jesus endured it. The gospel tells us, guys, that we're more sinful and broken than we ever dared believe, and yet at the same time tells us that we're more loved and accepted in Jesus Christ than we ever dared hope. All of this is symbolized and celebrated in baptism. Baptism is all about Jesus. It's all about his death, his burial, his resurrection for our sins. And even as the gospel is proclaimed through preaching, the gospel is shown and symbolized through baptism. Baptism has zero meaning apart from Jesus. If it isn't all about Jesus, you're just getting wet. Baptism is all about Jesus. But baptism also proclaims the reality that we are united with Jesus in his death and in his resurrection. Romans 6, 4, it says, we were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. Because the person getting baptized is saying this, Jesus is God who loved me. And when he died on the cross, I died with him. When he was buried, I was buried with him. And that's what water symbolizes, right? When we immerse those people today under the water, where it's like they're going into the grave. They're so identified with Jesus dying and being buried that now they're before you saying, I was buried with him. When Jesus died on the cross, I died with him. When he was buried, I was buried with him. And when he rose from the grave, when he conquered death, I rose with him. And thus you come up out of the waters of baptism into the newness of life. The person being baptized is saying, my faith is in him. And my salvation is from him, because when he died, I died. When he was buried, I was buried. And when he rose, I rose with him. Baptism is all about Jesus. Baptism is proclaiming the reality that we're united with Jesus in his death and in his resurrection. And then baptism tells us this. And this is exactly what Hillary and Kate sang in their first song after the break. And I just thought, this is such an epic choice of a song. Baptism tells us that the grave does not have the final word. Amen is right. Can we say that one more time with gusto? Amen. The grave doesn't have the final word. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. Baptism not only says that by faith in Jesus we were forgiven of our sins, it tells us that by faith in Jesus there's a resurrection for us. By baptism, we are showing the truth of the gospel that says each and every believer has a living hope beyond the grave. I hope that every one of us walk out of these doors today, we leave knowing that there is something worse than dying. You may be thinking, well, what's worse than dying? I'll tell you what's worse than dying. Dying apart from Jesus. Believing with your heart on the Lord Jesus doesn't mean that we're freed from suffering and death in this broken world. Believing with your heart on the Lord Jesus doesn't mean that we won't grieve for those who suffer and die. But the gospel of Jesus gives us a hope beyond the grave because Jesus conquered death. John 14:19, Jesus said, because I live, you also will live. Now I want to pause here. Who makes those statements? Who can make such a statement? If Jesus truly isn't God become man who died in our place for our sins, was buried, and 3 days later rose from the grave, he's a madman for saying. In fact, he's worse than a madman. He's a deceiver. You can't say Jesus is a good guy, a great teacher, but then he says, because I live, you'll also live. Put your hope in me. If he never was raised from the dead. Because I live, you also will live. I love this one. Revelation chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. Fear not. I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive evermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades. Yeah. Yeah. Feel free. 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 5, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Baptism is all about Jesus. Baptism is proclaiming the reality of how we are united with Jesus in his death and resurrection. Baptism tells us that the grave doesn't have the final word. And baptism tells us that in Jesus, we get a whole new life. Yeah. Romans 6, verse 6. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. The gospel is amazing. Sin is not just failures, faults, flaws. Sin is rooted in the choice to set up our little kingdoms of one over and against the kingdom of God. Sin is choosing my will be done, my kingdom come for my glory, instead of his will, his kingdom, and his glory. That's the essence of sin. Sin is tolerating, condoning, accommodating our little kingdoms of one. Baptism tells us that Jesus came to dethrone us. Jesus came to dethrone us and then be enthroned as king in our hearts. It's putting the true king in his rightful place. Baptism tells, you see, we're failed kings, by the way. we are horrible kings. We can't govern our own lives. And then we have people who can't govern their own lives trying to govern other people's lives. How does that work in a world? No wonder the world's broken. Baptism tells us that because Jesus died for our sins, we can put our sin to death. By the death of Jesus and by his resurrection, we can be set free from the rule and the dominion of drunkenness, of drug abuse, of sexual sin and perversion, addiction, gambling, gluttony, pride, lust for control. Because Jesus died for those sins. And he rose from the grave so that all of those idols could be put to death. And just as Jesus walked away from the tomb, his resurrection life enables us to walk away from our old life and walk in what Paul calls the newness of life. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, I think this is probably a key passage for our age. This is such a big one to the present culture that it has stuff that's just shifting in every direction right now. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11, he says, "Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." And here's the glorious truth of the gospel. "And such were some of you." Some of you were right in that list. But Jesus sets us free to walk in the newness of life. Jesus sets us free from being under the dominion and the rule of sin. Not to be sinless, but the rule of our lives is no longer sin. Jesus, he rules our lives. "And such were some of you, but you were washed. You were sanctified and justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." Christianity is not a religious philosophy. It's a reality of new life, the life of Jesus transforming us from the inside out. Guys, don't miss this. A Christian is not a perfect person, but they are a new person. Their old life is buried with Jesus. Their new life is risen with Jesus, and they are on their way to perfection in the presence of Jesus Christ. And the Word of God says that all of that is pictured in baptism. All of that theology is unpacked in that one act of obedience. And guys, that's why the Bible's so profound in how it's just so coherent. It just holds together from Genesis 1 to Genesis to the last verse of the book of Revelation. It holds together from cover to cover. Everything that the gospel proclaims about the life, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, everything it says about that is explained to us. Paul is doing that. So, what is baptism? The next question is, how do we baptize? The New Testament was given to us in its original language in Greek. And the word baptize, it's translated from a Greek word that means this: to dip repeatedly, to immerse, to submerge. And in particular, it was used of vessels that had sunk. In Greek literature and history, if a ship would sink, they would say it got baptized. It was submerged. It went under the water. So here at Metro, we take the literal meaning of the word to inform the mode of baptism. So we immerse the man or the woman, the boy or the girl. We put them under the water. So we've got, what is baptism? We've got, how do we baptize? And then these questions, they're the same question, but for the baptizer, and for the person getting baptized. Why? Why do we baptize? Why do we get baptized? And we tackled that at the very beginning. Jesus was very careful to command his disciples to baptize those who believed. And when we look at the book of Acts, we see them doing that thing. Matthew 28, 29, one more time says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And because Jesus commanded it, the early church did it, and so should we. Baptism is such a big deal that Jesus commanded it. In baptism, Jesus is commanding us to go public. Going public about your faith in Jesus, it's actually an act of obedience. I know for a lot of people, public profession of faith is hard. But water baptism is one moment where you get to make this public profession of faith in Jesus, surrounded by men and women who are rejoicing over your baptism and are celebrating you in your baptism, embracing you, if you would. And it's your way of saying, I am making it public. I belong to Jesus. And in that act of obedience, you're a witness of the sacrificial love of Jesus and the victory of Jesus over sin and death. What is baptism? How do we baptize? Why do we baptize? Why do we get baptized? Jesus commanded it. And then this question, who do we baptize? Well, there are two basic views or positions on baptism. One is called paedobaptism. Paedo is the Latin word for child or infant, like pediatrics comes from that word. And so that's the name given to infant baptism. Catholics, Presbyterians, Lutherans, Anglicans, some Methodists, they baptize infants. And they say, here's our reasoning. We believe that you should baptize infants because baptism is the new covenant version of circumcision. And in the old covenant, every Jewish male was circumcised when they were 8 days old. The other position is called credo baptism. I like to call that one the right one. Just teasing. Credo in Latin means I believe. So this is the name given to believers' baptism. It means that baptism is for those who are old enough to demonstrate and articulate Christian faith. Age matters only to the extent that the individual can grasp the truth of the gospel and make a decision to trust, love, and live for Jesus. Now, staying with the who, a lot of people wonder or ask the question, should I be rebaptized? And this might apply to some of you this morning. If you were baptized as a child or baptized when you were really not living for Jesus, or maybe you got baptized, but it was kind of meaningless. It was even kind of a fake profession. You just did it because you felt pressured to do it, or you thought it would be important to a relationship or something. But now you love Jesus and trust Jesus alone to save you, then I would say to you, yes, be rebaptized. And I would say, do it today. Now, for those who are not yet Christian, you have a problem. The problem is called sin, and there's nothing that you can do to save yourself. Baptism doesn't save you. But here's the good news. God came to do what you could never do. Jesus is God come in human flesh. And he died and rose to conquer sin and death. Trust in Jesus and give your life to Jesus today and become a Christian. And by the authority that we have in the name of Jesus, we'll baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, showing everyone that you've placed your trust in Jesus to save you. We're going to take communion now. Now, if you're visiting, I'm not always this brief, so don't get your hopes up. But before we take the bread and the cup, let's bow our heads and hearts before the Lord. And if anybody this morning is not yet Christian and you need to give your life to the Lord, or if you need to return to the Lord this morning, I want to pray for you right now. Father, I want to pray right now that as we have seen the glorious gospel portrayed in baptism, I pray that men and women would go, if this is who Jesus is and what he's done for me and how my life can be absolutely connected to his life in this way, giving me this hope, I need to be a Christian. Or I need to return to Jesus. I can't believe I've wandered from him. So while every head is bowed, every eye's closed, if anyone this morning, you want to give your life to Jesus, or if you need to return to Jesus, while every head is bowed, every eye's closed, could you just put your hand up in the air? I want to see who you are so that I can pray for you. Can you do that? I see this gentleman's hand way in the back to my left. Keep it up just for a moment. I see this young lady's right in the middle to my left. Is there anybody else? I see this one lady into the back on the right. Anybody else? Lord, you're the great knower of hearts. You know these men, you know these women, and you know those who, Lord, they know they should be raising their hand, but they're not. You know them. I pray that you would meet them, that you would just let them know how real you are and how much you want to rescue them. Those of you who raised your hands, maybe even those of you who didn't, but you know you should have, I want you to just pray this simple prayer after me. And I don't need you to pray it loud enough for me to hear you, but I think it's an important step to making a public profession, to pray it loud enough for the person next to you to hear. So just pray this after me. And these words are not going to save you, but it's what you mean in your heart as you say them. Lord Jesus, I confess that I am a sinner. I believe you died in my place for my sin. Please forgive me of all my sin. And please come into my life and make me a brand new person. Place within me a living hope. And give me the strength to live for you, to love you, to trust and serve you every day of my life until I see you face to face. In your wonderful name I pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Right now we're going to do the other thing that has been done from the birth of the church forward. Baptism is one of those two things that have been done historically in the history of the church. The other is communion. We're going to take the bread and we're going to take the cup. And Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. The broken bread tells us the story of Jesus, broken and given. The cup reminds us that he washed us from our sin with his blood, that he ransomed us from the penalty and power of sin, cleansing us from all of our sin. So we're going to worship the Lord in song. The communion elements are around the room. And then we're going to get ready to dismiss and get ready for the baptism. So let's worship the Lord. Thank you. Jesus, you are our everything. We adore you, Lord. Would you draw us deeper and deeper into who you are? May we grow in grace and in the knowledge of who you are. And may what we're about to do in just a few minutes be a part of that. May those who are being baptized, Lord, may they just know it. That they would know by experience how awesome you are. That you would meet them. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would pour your Holy Spirit out upon those being baptized, even as the Holy Spirit descended upon our Lord and Savior when he was baptized in the Jordan. Lord, we pray that Holy Spirit, you would fall upon those who are being baptized today. That they would go forth in the power of the Holy Spirit as Jesus, as you did, as you launched into your public ministry, into your mission. Lord, you've called us. You said, as the Father sent me, so I'm sending you. So, Lord, we are praying, Lord, that you would send us in the power of the Holy Spirit to live in your mission, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.